This is the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day, featuring Father Herbert Burke of Immaculate Conception Church of Forest City, North Carolina.
I always think about my dad. One little thing that I own reminds me of him because it used to be on his desk all the time. When he passed, I got it. It's a little marble paperweight with an inscription on it about the first flight over the North Pole. And it means a lot to me because it was my dad's. So it kind of, when I have it there, kind of makes me feel a little bit closer to him. Now I bring that up because I'm going to relate it to our gospel today. Because, you know, the things we own really don't go with us. The scripture says we carry nothing into this world and we carry nothing out. And so as we look at this parable, talks about the man going on the journey. Of course, that's a symbol for God. What's the journey? The journey is the separation time between when God first creates us and puts us in this world and the time we come back to God at the judgment. So the man goes on a journey and calls his servants in and entrusts his possessions to them. So as I was mentioning that little paperweight, which means a lot to me, but you know what? One of these days I'm going to go. And I don't think whoever sorts through my stuff, I don't even know who that's going to be, but, you know, that paperweight's not going to mean anything to them. I don't know. Hopefully they won't throw it out. Maybe they'll put it in a rummage sale or something. I don't know. But the point is what is it that's really ours? When we look at this, he called in his servants and entrusted their possessions? No, his possessions. So if God is entrusting us with his possessions, that means there's a connection with what we own or think we own and him. So this hand, it's my hand, right? Well, did I create it? Did God give it to me? So maybe I'm being entrusted temporarily with this hand and this body and this time and this world, and it's a test to see how I'm going to use it. Some of you who might listen to Rush Limbaugh now and then, you know he makes that little joke, talent on loan from God. Well, it expresses a truth about what we have is on loan from God, and if we use it wisely, he will give us greater things. But if we don't use this life wisely, why should he give us another? If we use this life to take the talents and the things he gives us and use them against him, against his kingdom, that's not going to be make us useful servants, make us useless servants, wicked and lazy servants. And that's how that one fellow winds up at the end. We don't want to wind up like that. So when we think about it, what is really our possession? What is it that's really ours? If God gave us everything we have, do we have anything? What do we have? We have a free will, and we have the effects of the choices we make with it, which affects us and others around us. Now, every decision we make doesn't necessarily have a moral dimension or a spiritual effect. I decide I'm going to eat oatmeal instead of eggs for breakfast, that probably doesn't have much of a spiritual or moral effect. But there's a lot of decisions we make that affect other people and determine whether we're helping them get to heaven or helping them get to hell. Or if we're committing sin, we'll bring ourselves down and bring others down around us. And if we're committing acts of grace, like prayer and obedience to the commandments and the works of mercy, then we're helping others to get to heaven. Then we're becoming useful servants, good and faithful servants. Those are the kind that God is looking for, who take the talents that they're given and use them wisely. Now the word talent, that's an interesting thing, because the word talent in the gospel actually originally means money. So it's sort of like saying, you know, $100 or something like that. But we hear the word talent, we think of something else. Why is that? Because of this gospel and the influence that this gospel has had on the formation of the English language. So the word talent, which is used in this gospel, has become a word that means abilities and gifts. But it's an example of how the gospel has influenced our language. It's a reminder. So what is the talent anyway? Well, because we're trying to, in a parable, you have all kinds of symbols, and you got to try to crack the code and figure out what's going on. So the talent, which is really money in this story, a symbol. So I like to say that money helps us understand grace. So what does that mean? The scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, yeah, but when you understand how money works in this world, what does money do? Everyone's trying to win the lottery, right? What do you do with money? Money enables you to do all kinds of things in this world. You can buy whatever you want, you can travel, you can. So the more money you have, the more things you can do for yourself and maybe others if you choose to in this world. So, how does that relate to grace? Well, who's the highest saint in heaven? Who has the richest? Who has the most spiritual money? Mary. Do we say Hail Mary full of money? We say Hail Mary full of grace, which is the spiritual counterpart to the earthly version of money. So we want to have the riches of heaven. We want to be rich with grace. And so grace, I would say, is the first level of understanding the word talent, which again is money in this story, but it's a symbol for something. It's obviously not money. So when you look at the end, it talks about, you know, should you not have then put my money in the bank, the talents in the bank? What's the bank a symbol for? The church. So the church gives us the gospel, the teachings, which guide us how to use the grace and the faith, the abilities, the opportunities, the resources that we have for the love of God and the love of neighbor. Because that's what becomes truly ours. At the end of our lives, what we've done with our free will and how we have chosen to use our body and our soul and our time and our money and our opportunities and all of our resources, have we used it to grow in the love of God and honor to Him who gave us all of these things so that He will give us greater things in the next world? Have we chosen to use them to help my neighbor on the road to heaven, to help them to serve God? When we say the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? Well, we want the kingdom to come. How does it come? The next line tells us, when His will is done. How is His will done? Whenever me or you or anyone else chooses to do His will, then it's done on earth as it is in heaven. And we bring a little bit of heaven upon the face of the earth when good is being done. What about when we choose the wrong way? Well, depending on how bad it gets, you know, that's when we bring hell upon the earth. That's when we turn the news on and we see hellish things being reported, horrible events, murders, and all kinds of horrible things. That's where people are using their talents poorly and not using them wisely, the opportunities that God gives them. Because we see the one fellow did what? The fellow that got the one talent, he goes off and digs a hole in the ground and buries his master's money. What does that mean? Well, he's putting it in the earth. So what is the earth is temporary, putting it into sensual things, the things of this world, sinful things, things that are just for you and not for the glory of God and the love of neighbor. So if we bury our talent in the earth and in the things of this world, when we leave this world, it stays here and we have nothing to take with us, nothing to show for the life and the talents that God gave us. We get into the next world. What did you do with what I gave you? Well, I buried it in the earth. I used it for the things of this world and nothing for the things of heaven. Nothing for the love of God and the love of neighbor. I didn't help anyone on the road to heaven. Just things for this world. That's why he's in trouble. What about the others? The one who had five talents went and traded with them and made another five. How does that work? Do you trade grace? Here, I've got some grace for you. Let me give you some grace and you can give me some more back. How's that work? Well, this statue over here, the Blessed Mother, is $14,000. And the guy that gave it, he no longer goes to this church, but he knew that I was looking for someone to donate the money for that. And he said, Father, I want to pay for that first statue of Mary, that main statue. I'm going to pull the money out of my retirement. and I'm going to pay for that. And he gave me the money for it. And you know, I always like that saying, you can't outgive God. I've noticed whenever I give to the church or to anyone else, all of a sudden the money kind of comes and shows up out of nowhere that I gave, almost to the dollar sometimes. It's kind of ironic. I can see God kind of smiling at me. Now what are you going to do that I gave the money back? What are you going to do with it? So this fella, a few weeks later, says, Father, I got to tell you something. I said, what's that? He said, you know that money I gave you for the statue? He said, I pulled that out of my retirement. I said, yeah, I remember you told me that. He said, well, my brother called me a little while after that and said some money that we had invested years ago had finally matured, and he gave me 3 times that amount back. So he not only got what he paid to give to the church 3 times, so he traded and got more, so he could go ahead and actually get back to where he was before. He could theoretically take another $14,000 and give it to the church or give it to some charity and still have $14,000 ahead for himself, for something for himself. And so you can't outgive God. God is generous. When we give, God gives. When you use the grace that he gives you to do good things, he gives you more grace. When you use the faith that he gives you, he helps it grow. So if we use our faith, it will grow. If we neglect our faith, it will become weak and useless to us. So grace and faith and resources, opportunities, time that God gives us to help spread the love of God and the love of neighbor are meant to be used, and then we get more. We grow in grace and faith and the reward of the love of God and neighbor, and we share in the Master's joy. So that's what the trading is all about. So we see they come forward, and he says, Master, you gave me 5 talents, see, I have 5 more. So you gave me faith and grace and opportunities, and I have increased my faith and my grace through obedience to your words, to your commands, to your teachings, which the church has given to me, the bank, which advises us on how to invest, right? Isn't that kind of what a bank does? Takes the money and interest, it grows. So the master says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Now notice the 2 adjectives used. The good guy in the story has the word good and faithful. What does the bad guy get? He gets 2 adjectives as well. You wicked and lazy servant. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to be wicked or spiritually lazy servants. We want to be good and faithful servants. Since you were faithful in small matters, in other words, the things of this world which are temporary, I will give you great responsibilities in eternity. Come, share your master's joy. So when we are faithful to God in this world, we get to share in the master's joy, in the joy of God himself. I know sometimes we have the concept of heaven, you know, we're going to be playing harps on clouds and we're going to be bored to death. You know, I don't think it's going to be exactly like that. So there's a hint here of our Lord that we will have a share in the joy of God in eternity. So then we see this other fellow here. Master, I knew you were a demanding person, investing we did not plant, gathering we did not scatter. Out of fear, I went and buried your talent in the ground. Here it is back. A pathetic excuse, which isn't fooling anyone, especially God. So he's in big trouble. So we don't want to show up at the end of our lives and tell God, you know, you gave me resources and, you know, I still have exactly what you gave me. I didn't do anything with it to help the love of God grow in myself or in others. I didn't help anyone on the road to heaven. Just buried my talents in this earth, in this world, in this temporary thing. In fact, committing sin, because he's wicked, remember, probably hurt some of the fellow servants and might have brought some of them away from heaven and onto the road to hell, a frightening thing. So what does the master say? You wicked and lazy servant. That's not what we want to hear at the end of our lives. So you knew that I harvest where I did not plant and gather where I did not scatter. What does that mean? Remember I said that the only thing we really own is the investment we make with our free will of choosing the right thing, which has a moral and spiritual effect on ourselves and our neighbor in time and eternity. So God is saying in this story that he gives us the resources to plant, the word of God, to plant the good things in this world. We have the free will. We have the ability to choose and do that. And then God and us reap the benefits, the spiritual benefits of the kingdom coming on the earth, in thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you knew I harvest where I did not plant, because we're supposed to plant with the free will, gather where I did not scatter. Should you not then have put my money in the bank, so I have gotten it back with interest on my return? In other words, he knew about the church. He knew that he could take the faith and the graces and the resources and take from the teaching of the church, which is the gospel, the Ten Commandments, the 14 works of mercy, the life of prayer, the sacraments, and invested in his life, invested his free will, his time, his energy, his resources for the love of God and neighbor, and he didn't do it. He buried it in this world, and the things of this world, they are temporary. And so he says, take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10. For everyone who has, more will be given and he will grow rich. But for the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. In other words, if we take the good things God gives us, we will grow in them and he will give us more. But if we take them and neglect them, why should he give us more? We're not even using what he gave us. Even though the guy was only given one talent, he could have doubled it easily to two. He didn't do anything with it. He neglected it. He neglected his faith, his grace, his abilities, his opportunities for the love of God and neighbor, and he just used it for the love of self. So we see here, throw this useless servant into the darkness outside. A very frightening line, in my opinion. So he has a third adjective. He's wicked, he's lazy, and he's useless in the eyes of God and the eyes of heaven. He may have been very useful in the things of this world, the things of the earth. He buried all of his talents in this earth. But guess what? We're not here forever. We're leaving. We've got an appointment in eternity with God, and we've got a new life in a new world. So when we take the life that he gives us here and now and use it to serve him properly, he will give us a new life, an eternal life, one that will never end in the next world. But if we take this life and use it against him, use it for sinful things, use it to fight against the kingdom of God, fight against thy kingdom come, thy will be done, go against the will of God, why should he give us another opportunity to do the same thing in eternity? And so that's why this servant is told he is useless, wicked, and lazy, and he's thrown out of the kingdom into the darkness outside, because he chose the darkness in this world instead of the light of God. May we never choose the darkness over the light. May we never choose to bury our talents in this world and just in the earthly things. May we take the talents and the gifts that God has given us and invest them in the love of God and neighbor, as defined by God, not as defined by the world, because the world has a bit of a skewed view of and definition of what true love is. And sometimes it involves lies and sinful things. So we need to go with the definition that God gives for love, the Ten Commandments, the works of mercy, the creed, a life of prayer, the sacraments. So that is what true love is. God knows what true love is. He created us. He created the world. He created men and women. He created true love. He created all of the things that are good. Everything we have comes from God. What is it that we have? What is it that our name is on? The spiritual effects that we make in this world with the free choices we make that have moral dimensions throughout our lives to affect the love of God and neighbor. That is what is our true possession. That is what is truly ours. And that is what we carry with us from this world into eternity when we meet the Lord of talents, the one who gave us all that we have. May on the day we die we hear him say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master.
This has been the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM, also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media app.